truth is out there, ladies and gentlemen, and tonight we are on a time limit to find the truth here on an all-new I Want to Believe on the Podzilla 1985 Network. My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. With me, of course, we have the man himself, the genius, the smartest man in podcasting, Tanner Calvert.
All right, I'm going to step out.
Double H is here with us tonight.
Yes, I am.
And we have a special guest joining us on the show once again. Joined by an even specialer guest, we've got Mr. Scott Walter and Janet Walter, of authors, hosts, real-life Indiana Jones. I mean, they do everything. Hello, guys.
Hello.
That is the most specialist thing I've ever heard anyone say. It was amazing. Hi, guys.
Well, so before we get into the show, let's for the listeners out there, there might be some weird editing later, and here's why. Our good friend Tanner Calvert set the show up for us. He's very excited about it. He loves having Scott on. We love having Scott on, obviously. I believe this is the third time you've been on the show with us. You're one of our favorite guests. We're lucky Janet could join us with us tonight. We're very happy about that. But Tanner was so excited about this that he did not look into the terms and conditions on Zoom, which is what we're using to carry on this conversation. And apparently Zoom has a time limit. So we may have to set up a second Zoom or something here in a couple of minutes. It could be anywhere between 10 to 20, 30 minutes before this shuts down. Point is, we don't know. Until then, we're going to make it the best 20, 30 minutes that we absolutely have. So Tanner, I will let you, I gave basic introductions, but why don't you tell us a little bit more about Scott real quick while I drink this Dr. Pepper.
So as Shannon said, Scott, this is the third time you've been on the show with us. You've become a regular now. Definitely one of the favorites. I know the last interview we had, me and you went for, I think, an hour and a half. Janet, also an author, I have been wanting to get you on the show with them too. And luckily this time it's happened. I like to think you're the brains behind the operation, because it's always you behind the scenes pulling the strings.
I like that.
Yeah. Much like Tanner is the brains behind our operation.
Yeah.
That's not the same.
It happens.
It's not the same thing.
So, Scott, we know what got you into this kind of field of research. We've talked about it twice now. Janet, I want to know what got you into this field, because some of the books you've done follows along with some of the same research that Scott's done. But outside of Scott being into that field, what got you there?
Well, it truly was a project together, because when he got into the Kensington Rune Stone, we were both completely mystified by this object and what it could be. And his geology testing proved that this is writing that could not have been a modern hoax. So what is it? If the geology and the hard science said this is a real, genuine artifact that's self-dated 1362, found in Minnesota in 1898 by a farmer, what the heck is it? And it seems to be, well, it's in ruins, which is Scandinavian writing of old. What's it doing here in the middle of the continent? How did it get here?
Yeah.
Is it an artifact that some immigrant brought? No, we know that.
Yeah, because no one's going to carry a stone that big.
It's a natural Minnesota stone. It's native to Minnesota.
Yeah.
We didn't bring it here from Scandinavia. So what is it? So that's what started us on this whole thing. And later, as we progressed with that, we are also working with British author Alan Butler, who's brilliant, who is a Templar researcher.
I love watching his research.
About their history and the Cistercians who founded them. He knows all that information. And he was stunned to learn from us that the Templar story continued over here in North America.
Yeah. Well, that's true. But now the more I think about it, the more I think that the Templar story really didn't necessarily, well, it did start in Europe, but it actually started over here much earlier than we thought, in the beginning of the 12th century. And really what I think we're talking about is a story that begins even before that, probably in the, before the year 1000, because once the year 1000 happened and the Messiah did not return, then the Roman Catholic Church basically left itself vulnerable. I mean, it was like, hey, this is, and we don't think about that in this day and age because obviously it's 1,000 years later. But, you know, at that time there were bold predictions and, you know, they had high hopes and they just didn't pan out. So I think these Venus families, as we like to call them, these bloodline families, saw an opportunity and they created the Cistercian order. And within that order, you had the military branch called, you know, the Poor Knights of Christ at the time that eventually became what we call the Templars. But it was really a brilliant plan that began all the way back then. And really, they had their sights set on North America and founding what we now know they called a free Templar state, going all the way back, you know, farther than we realized. But now that we have our heads around this story, now that the evidence is finally in place, we really know exactly how the story unfolded. And it's really, truly amazing. I mean, I'll give you an example. You know, the Crusades, everybody thinks that the Templars were the military fighting force for the church. And that is the impression they wanted to give people. But in fact, capturing the Holy Land was not done for Christendom. It was done to establish a base of operations in the Middle East so these guys could spend the next several decades going throughout the region, you know, gathering the things that they wanted, which included wealth, gold, jewels, silver. I mean, the tangible things, the money, if you will. But they also went looking for relics. They went looking for ancient information, scrolls, technology. Understanding how to navigate is one of those secrets, if you will, that gave them an advantage against their enemies. And once they had gathered up all the stuff that they wanted in the region, the other thing that they were looking for were remains of important historical figures, and I would argue some of their bloodline ancestors. Mm-hmm. And they rounded all that stuff up, and by the end of the the 12th century, when the Templars were supposedly defeated by Saladin and the Muslims, that's not what happened. They were done. They had gotten what they wanted, and it was actually a retreat because their whole goal was to head west. So I think if you think about it in that context, in many ways, it just hits your brain, I think, in a logical way, and it does make sense. And really the story, like everything else we've been told, is bullshit. And this is really the real story.
Scott, I just want to mention, because she'll never let me live it down. Beth Graham, who's in the chat right now, wanted to say she's a big fan of yours and America on Earth. And again, I think that if I don't mention that, she comes to my shows. I'm a professional wrestler, and she comes to my shows, and I don't want to get anything thrown at me. So I just wanted you to know that she's in there and she's a big fan of you and all that stuff. So,
I tell her we really appreciate it. And, you know, we've had, you know, just an amazing run with America on Earth, that we've had so much fun. I don't know if the show is going to come back. We did season 4 and then we rolled right into COVID. So I'm not sure if we're going to come back on that show. But I think there's a good chance you'll see us on TV again. And hopefully that'll happen. And if so, we'll let you guys know and we'll come on and tell you all about it.
Definitely. Absolutely. Tanner, we have a question that somebody asked early on, but if I scroll through my Facebook, I will lose the feed for Zoom. So can you look that and ask this question for the gentleman, please? I want to make sure we get that question in there.
Yeah, Scott, we have a fan named Andy. He said he's wanting to know if you know anything about the third volume journals of Prince Henry Sinclair, if they'll be released or when.
Well, the answer to the question is, do we know anything about them? The answer is absolutely we do. But the journals are connected to the show that we're trying to pitch. And so we're going to hold those back until the time is right and release that information. You know, when it's appropriate, I guess that's the best way for me to say it. But what I will say is that up until very recently, we believe the journals that we had were absolutely authentic. Everything that we had been able to vet at the time, vetted out. We have not found any inconsistencies or problems. But I will say that there is another group of documents related to something called the Cremona document that has now corroborated what is in the Sinclair Weems journals. And the story is even more fantastic than we thought. Mm-hmm. And so all I can tell you is stay tuned, because if we get this show, you're gonna hear a story that's just simply incredible. And it ties right in with the little narrative that I just gave you about the Templars and their history. And it fleshes out all the details. Mm-hmm. And man, there's so much I could tell you, but I just can't yet.
And that was a really good point you made, that these two documents, these sets of documents, are completely independent from each other. Yep. And yet they validate each other.
They corroborate each other in a way that we could never have imagined. I mean, if you asked me, Scott, what would be the most incredible evidence that you could ever find that would prove your thesis that, you know, the runestone is authentic, it's a land claim, it was carved by the Templars, it connects with the Newport Tower, everything that you've been working on would be validated, I wouldn't have believed it. But all of that is true and more. And I cannot wait to tell this story.
I feel like in my head, like I know like some of it's spoiled for me because I've read your book, Cryptic Code. And I know the story of the Cremona document, and it's you're right. It is one of my favorite stories of all time. Just to sit and listen to what happened.
Yeah.
Well, and what you read is only the tip of the iceberg. Since I wrote Cryptic Code, a lot more has come out, and it's really pulled everything together. And I think we can say with certainty, we know the story now. We know exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible. And you know something, guys, one of the things that I'm hopeful will happen, and without getting into politics, I think we all know that the world's kind of a mess right now. And, you know, one of the things that troubles me personally is to see people on both sides of the aisle, one side more than the other right now, that think they understand what this democracy is and why it was founded and what the true tenets are. And the truth is they don't understand. Our political leaders on both sides really do not know. They have lost their way. In fact, being a Freemason, I mean, are any of you guys brothers?
I am currently... We're waiting on laws to reopen for me to go back in and finish my first 3 degrees.
I'm just Irish.
well, anyway, that's okay. But, you know, frankly, Freemasonry has lost its way since the time of our founding fathers in some ways. I mean, I still stand behind the institution wholeheartedly. I am proud to be a Mason. And I mean, I could sing its praises. I could go on and on. It's a wonderful institution. That said, things have changed from the time of our founding fathers, and some things have been lost. But, you know, what has been lost can be found, and it has been found. And so we are in the process now of sharing this information within Freemasonry. And all I can tell you is it's being well received because, first of all, it's very intuitive. It fits well in our brothers' brains, it fit in my brain. But the other thing is the evidence is there in plain sight. You just need to have it. It's like anything else. Once you know the secrets, once you know the code, it's right there. It was always there. And that's what we're in the process of doing. It's going really well, isn't it?
It's going really well.
Yeah.
And recently we were very, very happy to see right at the Omen Farm where the runestone was found, at the Minnesota gathering of York Rite Freemasons, who at the end of the time they go through all their rituals, they are knighted, and Scott is one of them, that on the runestone, Scott realized going through these rituals that there is a code on there that matches the sequence of the numbers in this ritual, which means this is, in fact, a Templar document written in stone. And we are very happy to see that the modern brothers, the Knights Templar, are recognizing that as something of their own history, which just happened about 2.5-3 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
And that was great. And in fact, can I tell them you were? Scott was honored for his work on the runestone. And he's very humble about that.
Very well deserved,
though. I can tell the way he looked away immediately. Like, I don't want to be seen about this.
We've all been there.
Yeah. All right. Well, since you brought it up.
He was given a beautiful jewel.
Oh, wow. Oh my.
That is gorgeous.
That is nice.
Isn't that cool?
That is very cool.
I was surprised because I was part of the group that, was organizing a surprise for Darwin Ullman to give him a Companion of the Temple Award for mm-hmm. everything that he has done and representing his family. And I'll tell you what, man, he has put up with a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've been through a lot to get this story out. And I will tell you that the biggest problem with the Kensington Runestone and its acceptance as an authentic artifact is due to problems of the human condition within academia. And there are a lot of things I could tell you about the hypocrisy, the lack of understanding, the criticism by people that were just afraid to admit that they were wrong, even when we gave them an out. One of the things I just found hilarious was I had certain academics in disciplines like, you know, history, language, archaeology, anthropology. These are humanities disciplines. And I don't mean to ridicule them, but the point was these people were saying, well, you don't understand scientific method. And I'm like, wait a minute. I run a freaking laboratory. I do material forensics. I do scientific method every day of my life for the last 37 years. And you clowns in these disciplines are telling me about scientific method when I can point out where you screwed up all along the way because you didn't follow the proper method, but yet you're criticizing me. I mean, on one hand, it's laughable, but on the other hand, it's part of the problem, right? That these people they don't get it. And, you know, in science, what I try to tell them is I said, look, you don't even have to admit that you're wrong. Okay. I mean, you had it wrong, but the point is, look, I've had it wrong sometimes too. And then new information comes in that supports a different conclusion. And if you accept that new evidence and change your opinion, it doesn't mean you're stupid. It means you're smart. That's the way the scientific method works. And sadly, too many of these people just don't understand that and they refuse to accept it. So they sit there and stamp their feet and, you know, they just maintain their position. And it's just like throwing sand in the gears, man. It's really frustrating, but I don't know, maybe I'm too much like a wrestler, man. It's like, let's throw down instead of him talking it out, you know?
Oh, go ahead.
And I've seen you just about do that.
Shannon, you have to understand, when I went to college on a football scholarship and I played 4 years of college and 4 years of minor league ball, and I was a linebacker. So when people challenge me, it's like, okay.
Let's go.
You know what that's like.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
No, hell yeah.
The I didn't get to interview the last time that you were on the show, and the second time. I was out of town or drunk on potatoes or something. I don't know. but the first time we talked, one of the questions I asked you was, and I somewhat regretted asking it because I thought, oh, God, he's going to think I'm an ass. But it was about when you joined up with Travel Channel, and I asked you about being on the same channel as so many ghost shows, and there were like 50 different ghost shows at the time, and your thoughts on that. Well, Tanner has told me, and maybe Tanner lied to me, or maybe I misheard, but Tanner, you said something about the recent UFO craze that's going on. And
no, I don't know how true it was, but there was a Reddit post that said that you were helping with some of the disclosure stuff.
And I was curious about that because I am, as much as I love the paranormal and ghosts and stuff like that, I have a real passion for UFO research, extraterrestrial life, stuff like that. So that interested me, and I wanted to get your take on that.
it was over a year ago when I'm sure we did that interview. And, you know, frankly, I find it interesting, but I never really had a passion for it because I was busy enough with the Runestone and the Templars. But, you know, it's always sort of been lurking out there, I guess you could say. But, it's almost a year ago now that I did get a call from somebody with NASIC who approached me about helping with disclosure. And I really wasn't sure what to think when it first happened. But, the first thing I said to him is, I said, look, you seem like a nice guy. You seem like you're genuine and everything. But how the hell do I know who you are? Mm-hmm. You could be anybody, you know, and you say you're with a branch of a shadow branch of our government. Prove it to me. And he did. He actually came and visited us, spent 3 days with us. And we drank some bourbon and we had a pretty in-depth discussion. And I'm on board. He also shared a lot of information with us and secrets, some things that we can't talk about. But disclosure is real. Aliens are real. They're here. They walk among us. And, you know, even though this report that came out that was supposed to be so far reaching that the government just issued last month it's a first step. Okay. It's basically acknowledgement that, yeah, there's stuff out there that we don't get. And that's pretty much all they said. Are they holding back? Hell yes, they are. And, you know, I don't know if it's my place to just sit here and spew out everything that we've learned. But, you know, there are a couple of things I think that are really important that our contact, and he goes by the name of Holden. Obviously, that's not his real name. There's a couple of things I'll tell you about him later. But, you know, one of the things that he did say is that humans as a species are in trouble. And we are. Climate change is real. I mean, you know, this disinformation campaign on news stations like Fox News, I'm just going to call it as it is basically spewing bullshit. People should be getting vaccinated. I mean, life is a risk. Every day you get in your car and you drive, you could die. And anytime you take medicine of some type, you know, 1 in a million people are going to, you know, get very sick and die. That's life.
Yeah.
But a hell of a lot more people are dying from the virus, and right. they should get vaccinated and just quit screwing around, because it's frankly, in my opinion, selfish for people to not do that. If you have a legitimate health concern, there are some extenuating circumstances, but for all intents and purposes, we should all be getting vaccinated. It helps everybody. Mm-hmm. That said, climate change is real. They don't like the way we treat each other. Racism, misogyny, all these awful traits that human beings have, we can do better.
And they don't like how we're treating Mother Earth either.
Oh, yeah. Well,
we're at a tipping point as a species.
Well, we're approaching that tipping point, the point of no return. And the meeting has been upgraded. Oh, nice.
Tanner came through.
Nice.
You pulled it off.
Here I am in my serious speech, and then I'm reading Zoom notes.
Well, I was just waiting for it to just like start saying you have 30 it's seconds, over. And Tanner's eyes grow really big. So yeah, that's good.
Anyway, just to finish the thought, the one thing that I think is something that will resonate with people, and I hope it resonates with them more than it ever did before. We live on this planet on one of the crown jewels of the universe. And the reason is because it's teeming with life. The entire Earth is a living thing. Mm-hmm. And we don't think about it like that. We see it as a ball of rock that has living things on it. No, the whole Earth is all one interconnecting dynamic. And the easiest way I think for me to have people understand that is that all things are made up of elements, right? trees eat elements as food to survive. Part of what they eat are elements from the breakdown of rock. So if you don't think that the earth is also part of this human organism, you're wrong. It is. And it is one of the few planets in the universe, so we've been told, that has the life that it does. And we are, excuse my language, effing it up. Oh, and we need to get our shit together. I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. And part of it starts with how we treat each other, how we treat the planet. The one thing we were also told that the ETs will not allow is for us to destroy this planet with nuclear weapons. They have interceded multiple times and they will continue to do so. They will not allow that because that is what will do our planet in. So,
it has further reaching.
Well, yeah,
it goes out into space and can also wreak havoc.
It's kind of like the butterfly effect. You know what that is, right?
Yeah.
You go back in time and kill a butterfly. What impact would it have on the future? Well, the Earth is also part of this intergalactic cosmic world, and it's important. And if we destroy it, we affect other people. And that's part of the reason why they're here. That's part of the reason why they're showing themselves more frequently. They are letting us know that they're here. They're not going to kill us. They're not going to attack us. If they were going to do that, they would have already done it a long time ago. Frankly, we pissed them off so many times. I'm surprised they haven't done it. But that's the story basically that we're told. And I tend to be more of an optimist when it comes to, hoping that people will come together. And I just, that's the message. And so that's what I'm trying to convey when we get the opportunity.
Well, so three things on that. Four things. One is I didn't expect to have this conversation and I'm into it. So thank you for being so open about it. Two, for anyone that's listening to us right now on Spotify or iTunes later, you really need to watch the live shows on Facebook because you miss little things like when Scott says something about the aliens and they look at each and him and Janet look at each other and give that look of like, you're missing out on that.
Like we just did.
Three, politically, I don't think we have any conservative listeners anymore. We go pretty hard on these kind of things. So don't worry about talking about the vaccine at Fox News. Free reign. Absolutely. You can also curse up a storm. Okay. We are uncensored.
Okay. F them.
Yeah.
And,
and four.
I mean, I honestly, guys. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you mentioned the destruction of the earth and all of this, but then said they wouldn't attack us. It almost sounds, I was going to ask you before you said that, if there was a threat of violence from aliens and if they are in these spacecrafts, if they are in the UFOs, if they are visiting, the chances that, or if we've already done it, that we would inadvertently, or because we don't know what it is, shoot it down. You know, there's so much talk right now about UAPs and stuff that, through the work of people like Luis Elizondo and Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 and To the Stars Academy.
And Dr. Stephen Greer.
that we know what they are. We think we know what they are. And our pilots and our military people are seeing it, that there is a chance that they may get ahead of themselves, mistakenly shoot one of these crafts down. And is there a threat of... Is that an act of war?
Well, no, I think we need to back up a little bit. the military knows a hell of a lot more than they're saying. They're not going to shoot one of these things down, not anymore. And anything that has happened in the past where, Area 51 and crafts that have gone down were accidents. Mm-hmm. Some of them were brought down by, and I can't remember if it was radio waves,
I think it was radar,
just accidentally running into our interruption of the airspace, and it brought them down. But they're aware of it. They know that we weren't trying to be aggressive. And look, they have the technology. We're working with them already. Mm-hmm. We have treaties with them. So, we're way farther down the line than people realize, and that we're just not telling people yet, because frankly, one of the biggest issues is the Roman Catholic Church. The reason that the report didn't include as much as we hoped is, you know, they're not ready to tell their followers because they're worried that if people realize that there are other human beings, they might start to question the narrative that the church has been preaching for nearly 2,000 years. And frankly, I think that'd be a good thing. I mean, I just have no love lost for the church. They're the antagonists in our Templar story. They always have been. They still are. They've infiltrated parts of our government. They've infiltrated the narrative. They're the reason why the truth hasn't come out about a lot of the pre-Columbian people that came to this continent. They want to control it. The whole narrative of Columbus being the first, that's a church narrative. It's the biggest bunch of bullshit that has ever been perpetrated on the earth. Thank goodness we're starting to change, you know, Columbus Day to Indigenous People Day. Yeah. For crying out loud, how can you discover something that you never set foot on that's already got millions of people living here, for crying out loud? I mean, think about that. It's insane. Ugh. All right, I'll stop.
No. Whenever you want. You riff.
I'm lit tonight, guys, so just watch out.
So with the disclosure and with what you're saying on our show right now, and I'm sure in the future, I expect to hear more about this. Do you think we got two? I don't know why we have two of Hunters on there now. That's
strange. What's better than one? Two, yeah, right?
Double Hunter.
It's his twin brother.
That's very weird. Yeah, I got an error message and then I came back and apparently there's both of me. Hopefully that other one will go away.
Hopefully that right, Hunter man. Will leave. So
it's all good.
Yeah, that one's frozen.
Yep. Yeah, that one's no good.
Forever thinking is what that is. But yeah, so with the disclosure and with you guys talking so openly about this, you know, I've heard interviews and I've read interviews with people like Luis Elizondo who have talked about the campaign against him since he spoke out publicly about this, since he's been so open and vocal about what he saw in his time with the government and really pushing for disclosure, pushing for more openness, you know, not want to say a smear campaign, but they're definitely discrediting him, or at least he fears that there's a discredit campaign against him. Are you afraid of anything happening with you and Janet like that?
Are you kidding me, man? I've been...
Because I know you've dealt with it before.
Hey, do me a favor. Google my name, okay?
No, don't.
I mean, give me a break. Look, if you're going to get into this this area, I mean, it's easy for me to joke because I don't feel the threats. I mean, I've been threatened, but I don't give a rat's anything.
Yeah.
You know, I think the thing is you know, in all seriousness, it sounds like people like him that actually worked within the government worked at a time where it really was risky. It was life threatening that, you know, you don't talk about this stuff. Otherwise, something might happen. And in some cases, things did happen. But the government has changed its position. It realizes that, you know, ultimate secrecy, you know, BS is just not tenable. So I think that's what you're seeing. And, you know, I also understand, and I'm not very good at it, you know, being cautious and careful and maybe bring it out in little bits instead of just, I don't know, to me, it's just like, let's just get after it. Let's just say it like it is. And then we can all get over the shock and move on with our lives, because that's what happens, right? When a secret is revealed and something comes, you know, at first you're like, wow, that's cool. And then after 5 minutes, you got to go back to work. You got to, you know, do what you got to do. And we move on with the new information. And that happened here too. It's a little, maybe a little more shocking, but at the end of the day, they don't want to intrude on our daily lives. They just want us to love each other, take care of the planet, be part of the interstellar universe, or they'll just let us kill ourselves. They're not going to intervene and save us. You know, that's what we were told.
You know, and they've likened it, what Holden has told us, because we've asked, is we're both big Star Trek fans going back to when we were kids with the original Star Trek.
Yeah.
And I said, was Roddenberry in on this? And he said, yep.
He knew all about this, yeah.
And he patterned Star Trek. And
basically, after a lot of that information. Yeah. But the other thing that we were told is we're way beyond that. We're beyond Star Trek.
So I have to ask the question. I have to ask it. Have you or Janet, have you seen a UFO, or have you been in contact with these beings yourself?
Well, you, why don't you answer first, Jan?
Well, I have not myself seen one, but I've had a couple of weird experiences. But we did have, I think the thing that comes to mind for me is we did have a fan contact Scott, who had seen an episode of America on Earth.
I'm going to see if I can find the picture. Yeah. Hold on.
And he said, did you see the UFO in the background in your episode? And this was 8 years ago that episode aired, right?
Yes.
Something like that. And we never noticed it. The production company never noticed it.
See if,
nobody noticed it before.
Oh, I know where it is.
And we went and checked with them, and had Scott went over there because they're not far from where we live here, just 10 minutes away, Committee Films.
Okay.
And they pulled up the original footage.
All right, hold
on
here.
It's on there. It's on there.
Yeah. So if you want, guys, I can play a short video. So what happened was, not long after we met Holden, and he sent us our study materials, if you will, and we were getting up to speed. You know, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, I do all that stuff. I'm not into it intensely, but I'll post stuff. So I go on my Twitter feed, and some dude goes, "Hey man, did you see this UFO that was in your episode? Montezuma's treasure." Yeah. And I went, "What?" And he posted a photograph. And I looked at the photo and I'm like, "What the hell is that?" It was a wide shot. And we're down in the lower left hand. It was just a wide of us going out to launch a underwater drone, mm-hmm. to scope out the cave before I went diving in it. And sure as hell, you look up and you see this tic-tac shaped thing. And I'm like,
and it's kind of rotating.
Yeah, it was kind of, it looked almost like a balloon, but it was like going like this. And so anyway, I went to the production company and I told them about it. And one of the editors, his name is Ryan. He's like, I go, "Ryan," I said, "do you have time this week to look this thing up in the episode?" He goes, "I got time right now. Let's go." So we ran into the editing room and he put this little thing together. And I don't want this, you know, to
get this thing in the water.
Let's do it. That's all it. Right. Yeah, but I don't. Now look up in the sky.
All right. Here we go. You see it?
It gets all closer right. And closer.
Can you guys see it on there?
No, it's.
Grainy.
I think it's
probably the glare.
Or contrast there, the glare. Yeah.
Right. Oh, there it is.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, no, I see it now. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to tell you to wait until I get to the end because he kept zooming in on it, but you saw it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Let me just scroll to the end there. Let's see here.
Which, if you can send that clip possibly to Tanner, we can post that so the people who maybe are listening to this later can, or at least a still of it or something.
I got it. Well, I can send the still.
Still would work.
Yeah.
Let's see here. When you go like that.
Well, anyway, we were pretty shocked
by
that.
Well, you can see, you see it there in the.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yep. Very clear.
It's in southern Utah is where that was.
Yeah. And then, okay, here's the.
Oh, but then remember what happened that day?
That's an interesting location for that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this thing is floating. And we didn't see anything. It was clear as a bell. There was no wind that day. It was perfect. It's not a balloon. And then we sent this clip to Holden, and he said, "Yeah, man, I'm 99% sure that's a UAP."
But the weird thing was, and you know, there's no such thing as coincidences. And if this is an example, I don't know what is. But that was 8 years ago. That morning, the guy who owns the property, who was on the episode, and I can't remember his name right now.
Oh, Lon Child.
He messaged you.
Well, no, here's the thing. Morning. So that night, we were on the phone with Holden, and when we talk, we usually, the shortest hours. Conversations we have are 2 hours. That hours. Night, we went till 2 a.m. It was like a 4-hour conversation.
He laughs because I fall asleep. And well, like, yeah. Scott, did we lose Janet?
So Holden and I,
I'm like, what?
Holden's drinking bourbon. I'm drinking margaritas. Janet Janet has a wine, and then she boop.
It's hilarious.
So we you know, we're talking to him about this, right? And I'm freaking out, and I'm like, God, this is so cool. And he goes, well, can you get more information about the location? Do you know the guy who, you know, owns the property? And I said, well,
Yeah, that's right. He asked you that night.
He asked me that night, and I said, well, I can't remember his name. I can see his face. I'm sure I can call the production company and get his name. I'll look into it. But I said, I haven't talked to him. We filmed that episode in 2013. So that's 8 years ago, right? And I'm like, I've never talked to him. I never emailed with him. I never texted him. I'll try. Swear to God, I wake up and go to my email, and there's an email from him. It was a group email, but he included me in on it. I saw the name. I recognized it. I'm like, are you kidding me?
And it was totally unrelated to this.
It had nothing to do with this. And so anyway, I got a hold of him, and it was nice to talk to him again. And I'm like, dude, you're not going to believe this. And I told him, he goes, well, he said, you know, I believe in UFOs. And then he was all into it. And I said,
he said there's nothing up there. On that
yeah.
Cliff.
He said there's
nothing there that could have looked like this.
I said, is there anything people, you know, flying planes or balloons or drones or anything? He said, no, man, that's so far out there. And he said, we've never seen anything out there. But, and then he started telling me his stories, but yeah.
That was crazy.
When I woke up that morning, I said, Janet, you are not going to believe this. This freaking email is sitting there. And we were talking to him literally the same day because it was 2 a.m. It was hours later.
Yeah. Actually, he sent it about that same time.
No, he sent it at 6 a.m. It was 4 hours later.
Oh, okay.
I remembered that. I looked it up. Wow. But still, really? Really? Weird.
Yeah, so to kind of tie this back to you guys' work with the runestone and the historical, because like Shannon said, you know, this show covers everything from the historical to the paranormal to the extraterrestrial, and that big info dump on the extraterrestrial. Is there ever any hope that we get something like that in the historical realm, that we get a government, you know, I don't want to say statement or approval or something like that, but someone actually coming out and saying, yeah, okay, this is the stuff. This is what it is. You know, you were saying earlier that it's not tenable to keep that secrecy. Is that the case with that work as well?
Well, I think eventually, yes, it's going to come. And I think it's going to have to come soon. You know, how do you reach the masses? How do you talk to everybody and get the word out? What is the appropriate way to do that? I mean, one of the things that has to happen is the Pope needs to make a statement, right? And I think that, you know, you've got, I don't know, 3 billion Christians in the world. I think maybe a cleric with the Muslim faith needs to speak up. I think there needs to be a statement by the religious leaders of the world's religions. The problem is that by making a statement like that, it undermines the basic tenets of a lot of their preachings, their teachings. Now, you know, anybody that really thinks it through understands that organized religion is, it's just BS, okay? Look, the dirty little secret is this, and I'm sorry to offend people, but I'm just going to tell you the way it is, okay? If you want to have a relationship with deity, with God, with Allah, whatever you want to call it, okay? It doesn't matter what you call it, because we're all talking about the same thing. And that is one of the things that should unite everybody. But here's the problem. When you have an organized religion, they require you to go through a human conduit to get to Creator. And that's where all the trouble happens. The truth is this. You can have a relationship with deity, with God, whatever you want to call it, goddess, whatever, all by yourself, right? And that relationship is between you and your maker. And it's nobody else's business. Now, if you want to have a like ideals with somebody else, you both believe in the same thing, you venerate, you know, you want to celebrate it or honor it or pray or whatever you want to do, that's your business. And it shouldn't matter. Like-minded individuals can get together, but this whole thing where you have to follow this dogma to get to salvation, this is why we have these problems in the world. And I'm sorry to break it to you, but that's the truth.
We're all human.
Yeah.
We're all human.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we forget. And because we're not part of that greater universe, but we are. We just don't realize it.
Yeah, at some point, somebody's got to speak up and just not worry about the political fallout. I mean, I know there's zealots out there that get all spun up, but I think, frankly, these people need to look in the mirror and get a life. You know, it's you don't need, you can do it yourself. But the problem is, so many people just don't have that in them. They don't have the strength, the self-confidence, they don't love themselves enough to be able to realize that they can do it, but you can't. So just do it. Just do it.
Talking about, you said that they just need to be more honest and all of these things with what's going on. But I mean, COVID and everything that's happened in the past year, and the fact that we are continuing to whitewash what happened on January 6th. I mean, is there even truth anymore when everything is perception? When the people that are in power, the people that have the highest ratings and the biggest pull in certain demographics can tell you one thing, and despite the fact that you have overwhelming evidence, scientific or otherwise, to say the other, that they will still believe what they want to believe because someone else told them. How do we ever achieve truth in any of these fields when you can't even tell what the truth is anymore?
Well, it's a great question, but I can't tell you any details, but 3 weeks ago I was hired to work on the Surfside condo collapse in Florida. And I'm pretty sure that there were Christians, Muslims, Buddhists, atheists, everybody living in that condo, and they all died. And it didn't matter what their religion was, what their belief system, what their sex was, what their orientation was. They all got crushed in that building. And I think sometimes we almost have to take a step back and realize that we're all in this game together. We're all going to be dead someday. I mean, nobody gets out of here alive. And I hate to break it to you, but nobody lives forever. And you can believe whatever you want to believe, but there are certain truths that we all understand. Now, when it comes to working on projects like that, or working on the Pentagon after 9/11, I worked on that project as well. All these people with these different faiths that are living in buildings that are still standing, that are now scared to death, is my building going to go next, right? Those people depend on people like me to be honest and forthright about the work that I do on their building, right? And tell them the truth, because it's literally a matter of life and death. I'm a licensed professional. I never left my job when I was doing that work because I love doing my work. But it's all about facts, evidence, truth, interpretations, and conclusions. And if I started screwing around even to one-tenth the amount of garbage that we see on television, on our phones every day, I would be put in jail, because I'm held accountable by the oath and the license that I have. And everybody in the society depends on us to do our freaking jobs. And what I don't understand, and what gets me so upset, is where is the integrity, the honesty, and the truth for the people that you're talking about? On Fox News and even CNN, sometimes they spin it the way they want to spin it.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's irresponsible, and it affects people. And then this jackwagon that we just had for the last 4 years. You know what? They took his platform away because you don't deserve it, and he got exactly what he deserved. And you know what? You're not going to get it back because it's a private company. So, but you know what it is? It's all a scam to go to his supporters to raise more money that he can spend on himself. And these people just don't see through it. I mean, wake up.
Well, I'm fired up on this.
You hit my hot button, Shannon.
You need to come on the Thursday show one of these days where I'm you talking about politics, and I'm screaming and I'm going nuts on the thing.
Well, It's insane. It's insane.
Well, I think everything that Scott does for his professional work is based on science. He examines concrete failure problems and figures out what caused them. That's the bottom line. And, yeah, you know, on 9/11, it was a different application. We know what caused that problem.
The trigger.
We knew what the trigger was because it was a plane that hit the building. But at the same time, there was a lot of work that needed to be done because they had to figure out, how are we going to repair this? Are we going to tear it all out? Or are there structures within it where we can do a surgical repair? So that's how that was applied. But this is different this time.
Yeah.
It also makes me...
Don't know what the trigger is in this case, but yeah, and we got to be careful. We're not supposed to talk too much about this. But in any case, my point is that I deal in a world of science, facts, truth, science. Yeah. And then, you know, but I care about politics. I care about a lot of these issues. And, you know, I see some of these people that hold office that are supposed to be, you know, the lawmakers, the leaders. I mean, how did Marjorie Taylor Greene get elected? This woman is like, she's a joke. I mean, I'm like, really? but yet the people in her party that are supposed to hold it, they just let her go.
Yeah.
Because they're pulling off the biggest scam. This is the biggest scam that has ever been perpetrated in America ever, you know, and we're living in it. And it's just.
Yeah. I've always, since Trump announced that he was running for president, and you see how the political parties have shifted and how the Republicans have abandoned, and I'm sorry, I'm going to get political for a second. I want to believe listeners. We'll get back to aliens and stuff in a second, I promise. But seeing how the Republican Party especially has shifted from being a Republican Party to the party of Trump, and you see the few people that are trying to fight back against that, I swing more liberal. I like to think of myself as an independent, but I definitely swing more liberal than conservative. But it's depressing to see that despite everything that's happened and all of the things that have happened with COVID and just everything, that they're still promoting Donald Trump in the next election. He is, you know, probably going to run for president again. And what's scary is that there is a real chance he could win because their supporters are crazy.
No, brother. Let me tell you why that's not going to happen.
I hope so. Yes.
No, it's not going to happen because here's the thing. You've got probably 30% of the country that will vote for him. If he sacrificed a child on TV, they'll vote for him, right? It doesn't matter what he says or does. They will vote for him. It doesn't matter. And then you have maybe at this point, you've got the rest of the Republican Party. You've got about 45% Republicans, 45% Democrats, and you got 10% in the middle. And those people are not going to vote for Trump. It ain't going to happen. He's already lost them. You also have probably 10 to 15% of the moderate Republicans that can't stand him. They're not going to vote for him. Yeah. A lot of these people voted for Biden, right? The point is he doesn't have enough of a base. And I hate to tell you, but the last time the stars aligned for him, right? And there were people that I know, my friends, that said, you know what? He's a business guy. Let's give it a shot, right? Well, we know how that turned out. There's no way in hell he's going to win another election. So I hope they do put him up because they look, he just lost, right?
Right.
What's going to change? Nothing.
Well, do you have any fears with the way that some Republican states and Republicans are trying to, you know, make voting harder, that could play a role in trying to put it back in power?
Of course I do. And eventually that's going to falter. But here's the other thing that we actually talked with Holden about. This is in many ways, what happened with Trump was good from the standpoint of before a lot of these, you know, racist far right hate mongers lurked in the shadows and sort of kept themselves quiet. What he did is he emboldened them to come out in the open. Now we know who they are, and it's not going well for them, and it's not going to go well for them. So now we know who the enemy is. Frankly, I was surprised and disappointed because a lot of our friends, we lost friends.
Same.
Over politics. But you know what? That just gives me fewer people to worry about, because if that's the way they think, screw them. I mean, we had a really close friend refuse to wear a mask to our daughter's wedding. And she's known our daughter since she was born. It was more important for her to not wear a mask and make a statement than to come to our wedding. You know, we told her, here, this is what's going to happen, honey. For the service, it's outside. You don't have to wear a mask. You come in, you sit down at the table. As soon as you sit down and people start drinking, the masks come off. And we had a great time. And nobody got COVID, right? But that's the mentality that I just can't tolerate. And it's sad, but I don't know. It's
but at least they wear those handy red hats now, so you can just go, it's that one. All right, never mind. Moving on.
can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah,
and this is a little bit sad and disappointing because the symbolism behind this symbol is so important, and it goes to the core of our country and of our nation and of our ideals. But because of all this crap, when I see the American flag flying in certain instances, it makes me sad. I don't have that pride, that emotion, that pride of being American like I used to, because I see it being abused. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you guys kind of feel that way a little bit?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It blows my mind, the number of people, and I don't want to get too far into any more things, but the number of people who will abuse flag code and then treat it like they're the Patriots.
Yeah.
And then we'll exactly. just redesign a flag and go, yeah, this is, I'm such a patriot. No,
yeah,
you're not.
Yeah.
You're immediately violating a huge tenet of how that's supposed to work.
No,
I get what you're saying though.
I've tried so hard in the past couple of years because I grew up, I've been in journalism as long as I can remember. I went to college for journalism. Through this podcast, I still get to practice journalism, even when, you know, I don't want to work for any major publication because I like my freedom. I like to talk about whatever I want to talk about. But I've tried so hard in the past couple years when I hear people say America is an awful country to tell them, like, America is not an awful country. America is a troubled country. It's a flawed country, but it has great potential. So when I see the American flag, I've tried to have more of a respect for it because when I was younger, I was very much a rebel. I mean, they called me the anarchist of my college class, myself and my cousin, who couldn't be here tonight. He would have loved to have been here and talk about this, believe me. But when I do see people flying the American flag on the back of their truck right next to their rebel flag, or I see someone with a MAGA hat dressed in flag shirt, flag shorts, you know, flipping off cameras or talking about immigrants, you know, whatever. It makes me sad. It makes me sad that people could actually think that way or be that way.
Sharon, I think part of you and I have talked about this a little bit, but just quickly, I think part of the problem with what you were talking about, the, you know, people now immediately go to, well, America's horrible as a country. It's an extreme pendulum swing from the exact opposite direction where we were constantly told over and over, this is the greatest country in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know and now that's not is, the case.
The truth it's somewhere is America is somewhere in the middle of that pendulum swing. But I like to think that we're, you know, we've sort of gone about as far to the dark side as we can. And I think reasonableness and things are going to start to balance off. That's why I'm not worried about Trump being reelected. We learned our lesson and they won't let that happen. And it can only get better. And I really think it will. But, you know, the other point I wanted to make is that when it comes to things like disclosure and it comes to, you know, talking about these other races that are out there that are actually walking among us, they live among, they look like us. You know, those almond shaped eyes creatures that everybody thinks about, those are not the aliens. Those are drones, biological drones. But the point is that all this political stuff that we worry about in this country and around the world, I mean, when you start to think about this alien situation, I don't even know what the proper title is, but the fact that we are just part of this vast interstellar universe, in many ways, it makes these problems that we have with each other, you know, fighting over religion, over race, over gender, I mean, it's like, really? Yeah. I mean, who cares?
It's like junior high stuff.
It becomes juvenile in the grand scheme, right?
However, obviously, people are very hurt by it, which makes it not a great thing to.
Well, it's difficult.
You can't diminish it too much because our affects people.
Yeah, it's affecting real people. I mean, it's easy to laugh at. We've talked about it, Hunter and Tanner, on the show many, many times. It's easy to laugh at people that think that way of, you know, Trump and supporting green people like that. You can laugh at them and go, oh, they're ridiculous. But at the same time, they hurt people. The things that they do hurt people. Yeah. So at some point, it stops being funny. But I have to ask, you've opened the door, and I need to swing back to it real quick. When you mentioned, and Hunter said, you know, they wear the red hats now, so you can tell who they are. And you talk about the enemy that walks among us. And also speaking about extraterrestrials walking among us, I'm curious about this, because I'm assuming you were told that you've seen evidence that these beings are on Earth and socializing with us.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I would recommend to the audience is if they want to learn more about some of the things that we've learned, we could recommend two videos, documentaries that are really, really good. One is called Unacknowledged. Have you seen that?
I saw it up and I haven't seen it yet. It's on my list.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good. And then I would watch that one first, and then I would watch Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. And this gets into, and Dr. Stephen Greer is, you know, he was really the first one to come out and say, we need to tell people they're here. We need to be open and honest about it. And frankly, he's, you know, his mantra is, we need to work at becoming members of the interstellar community. I just love saying that. I feel like I'm on Star Trek, but
I know, I love that
too. I know, it's just great. But what you'll learn is that we can communicate with them. If we want to have a relationship with the ETs, we have it in us to do it. We have the makeup within our bodies, in our brains, to communicate to them. And Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind is actually having an encounter with, you know, one of these beings telepathically, because that's the way they prefer to communicate. And we have that capability. And ultimately, what they're hoping that we will figure out, and we're just not there yet, but there are bits and pieces of like-minded people that if they work at it, they can have this experience. And if they do it right, the ETs will respond. Mm-hmm. They'll talk to you. They'll come. And, you know, the way that Holden described it to me that really resonated with me mm-hmm. is, first of all, you know, the more like-minded people you get together, the better. It'll create more energy. They have to be totally bought in. You can't have any doubts. You've got to believe.
You got to want them.
You got to want it, man. And what happens is you get to a space, you know, somewhere outside, preferably as far away from people and noise, light as possible. And everybody dials in. And
remember in Virginia?
Oh yeah, we did it. And that was we did it with our family one night.
We were visiting family out in Virginia, way out there. And we tried doing this, and they were like, what?
No. I have to say, I was really impressed with the effort.
But they did.
I have never heard our family and our siblings and our kids be so quiet for so long. It was amazing. But here's what he said. He goes, you know, you dial in, and I'm just paraphrasing it, but he said, imagine you're on your computer on Google Earth and zoom right in to your house. But in your brain, think about where you are. And then scroll out until you see the Earth as a ball. Mm-hmm. And then scroll back down and then back out and back down mm-hmm. to your location. Mm-hmm. And they will pick up on it. Mm-hmm. And if you're lucky, they'll come.
So they didn't in Virginia. And the next day we had all the confessions. Well,
I wasn't totally bought in.
So I have a question, and then Tanner, I'm going to throw it to you for the last question since you brought all this together. And then we are pretty much out of time for now. Although I hope you guys come back on again and just keep coming back forever and ever, because I love talking to you guys. With the extraterrestrials that are here now, from what you've been told, what you understand, why are they here? Are we a science experiment? They are studying us, or do they really want to commingle and just, you know, join societies?
I would say that is your, yeah, your second.
Yeah. Well, no, they're, yeah, no, they don't want to experiment with us because they put us here.
Okay.
And they're pulling for us.
That's deep. That's pretty deep. We don't have enough time. Well, I got time to jump into that.
It's deeper. It gets deeper, brother. But you know what? Let me just give you an example and I'll finish with this. You know, all these amazing megalithic structures that are found around the world,
Stonehenge,
like Göbekli Tepe. And it turns out these things go all the way back to the Younger Dryas period. And there's no question that there was a high civilization, a high culture that lived on the planet, all around the planet, prior to that time. And the evidence is all around us if you know what to look for. But they didn't make it. So we are the next iteration. And we're on that same path. If that, you know, if that resonates at all, that's why it's so important to talk about this. And I've seen the evidence and I'm all in, and I'll put my reputation, I'll put my life on the line to try and help make a difference, because I love this planet. I love people when they really show their best, you know, sides. And we, you know, people can be amazing. We can also be really ugly, but I think that we can do better. And I think we need to encourage each other. We need to help each other. And, you know, it's funny. We've been talking about these political ideologies, and, you know, we see and we just despise so much. How can you think that way? But sometimes when you meet people and you have a common experience, you're working on something, like some of the projects I've worked on. There were Republicans and Democrats that worked at the Pentagon. There are Republicans and Democrats that work in my lab, but we don't focus on that. I see the good work, the intelligence, the good ideas, the support that we all give each other. And when people are just dialed in and doing good things, the politics and the differences go away. And I think that's what we have to focus on. All of us is to see the good in people, try to, you know, focus on the things that we have in common, not the things that divide us. Definitely. This is what we do in Freemasonry. We don't talk about politics and lodge. We don't talk about religion. And when we do that, you see the good in these people, because everybody's got something to offer that's good. And if we all focused on that, I just think things would go better, in the whole grand scheme.
Very well said. Tanner, I'm gonna take it to you for the outros, since you were kind enough to put all this together for us.
Oh, I know you're talking about the end of the show, but I've got a few questions I want to ask. We're going to get back to the fun stuff here. So, Scott, last time you were on the show, you had just finished doing some research in Texas on some stones that had been found. Any updates on that, or is that something we could look forward to with this new series?
Well, yeah, that has gone really, really well. I was a little bit disappointed when I was contacted by some of the people that we interacted with down there, that the Oak Island boys went down there.
I don't know.
You know, and the reason why they went down there is because there are a number of maps that some people believe, you know, have the locations of treasures. I think that's a bunch of bunk myself, but, you know, you're probably going to see something on, this fall, this winter with the brothers, but, you know, the real story there has nothing to do with treasure. It has to do with people that probably came to this country for the same reason the Templars came here. People that were being persecuted for their religious beliefs. Have you ever heard of the term crypto Jew?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's basically somebody who is outwardly Christian, but in their heart, they're Jewish. So they have to practice their Jewish faith or any other faith other than Christianity privately and secretly for fear of being persecuted.
Yeah, I know. I know. I've read research that says that Columbus might have been one of the practicing crypto Jews,
and he may have been one of those that was bringing the people over that carved those stones.
Gotcha. Well, that was one thing I was really curious about. Yeah. The other thing is, last time I actually contacted you guys in email, we had found some petroglyphs here in Southern Illinois. I didn't know if you guys had looked any more into them. I know since I talked to you, the river has been extremely high and we haven't been able to get back to them.
Wow. You know, I don't recall, Tanner. And frankly, I get hit with so much stuff every day. My phone is ringing.
I understand that completely.
Well, I'm just, but some of it is really good. I just haven't been able to process it all. It's too much. And you know what the downside is my business contact information is out there and people find me on the internet and they watch the TV. And today I had to shoo a guy off. I said, look, man, I'm sure you got a great story, but I'm working right now. And I can't talk about this stuff. And so it's frustrating and I hate to be rude because I appreciate people that, you know, are into it. They wouldn't call me unless they were fired up. So that's a good thing, but I just can't handle it all.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's completely understandable. I mean, you have a day job as does the rest of us. That's why, you know, we podcast when we can, but everybody's got a job.
Yeah.
So last two things, Janet, are you working on any new projects right now besides the possible new series coming up?
I've pretty much been working with Scott on these documents, and there's a lot of stuff has come forward. So yeah. we've been really digging into that, and we've had some fun with it too, though.
Well, we've had a lot of fun, and Janet deserves a lot of credit. She, you know, the funny part is that we had a couple of things that were sitting right in front of us, and it was like, oh, that's cool. I'll get back to it because I was so busy working on something else, and. Yeah. She was looking at it going, do you realize what this is? I'm like, oh my God, you know, it's like,
oh. Yeah, you know how it's one of those things where sometimes you see something the first time or it's, you know, it's 5 years ago and the person you were and the knowledge base you had at that time, you weren't ready to receive that and understand it fully.
Yep, yep.
And that's what happened on a couple of these documents that he had already seen them years ago and I went through them later now with the knowledge base that we have now. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Do you remember this? And he's like, huh? Oh my gosh.
Well, let's just give him a tease.
One of those V8 moments.
Let's just give him a tease. So, you know, you've heard that the Templars, you know, they had secrets, right? Well, we now know what a lot of those secrets are. And I won't tell you the name of the document yet, but there is a document that if I told you to Google it, what you would get is that, yes, this is a document that was part of the Old Testament, but there is no known copy that exists today.
Or is there?
That's a good tease. Yeah.
And I know why the church doesn't want this document. They destroy every copy they get, but you're going to have to wait to find out what it is.
I love it. I love that. Well, that's a cliffhanger right there, Tanner.
Definitely. So, Scott, Janet, thank you guys so much for coming on. I got to say, your work has made me a true believer to the point where...
Look at you, man.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, and then...
Was that a hooked X?
It sure was.
He legitimately,
saw it.
It's like our rings.
Yeah, you all have made me a true believer.
He legitimately won't shut up talking about that. You guys. Like, no joke.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's a good sleep tonic there. Just talk about us. Well, thank you guys for having us. We appreciate it. It was a lot
absolutely.
Of fun.
Thank you guys.
Yes.
I've never gone this deep into politics. You know what? I'm blaming Ken and it's his fault.
It's always his fault.
I agree. I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious about this. So I love to talk politics. It's hard to find people to talk politics with, though, because we try to keep the show light and fun. But my heart is in journalism. That's where I come from. So I love to talk politics. Yeah. You are going to have to come on a show with me that's not – paranormal related, and we will talk politics and the world. I would love that if you were down with that.
Well, and about journalism, because right now, I think there's a lot of ethical questions that can be asked about journalists right now.
Yes.
Especially Fox News. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Absolutely.
Let's not kid around. Propaganda station is what it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, Fox News used to be the worst thing on TV, but then now you have Newsmax and you have OAN. You have networks that go even further than Fox News. We will talk about that in the future. I'm saying networks. It right now. Yeah, we're getting and Janet coming back. We're not going to talk about aliens. We're going to talk about people for once. All right.
All right.
That's going to do it for us tonight. We want to thank everyone that's listening. If you're tuning up with us live, if you're listening to us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us at, thank you so much. Scott, Janet, thank you. Tanner, thank you for setting it up. Hunter, thank you for being with us. We love you guys very much. We'll see you on the next episode. Hunter, until then, as we say every I want to believe, watch the skis.
Scott.
Later.